We're talking about dangerous ideas today. Do you remember that scene in It's a Wonderful Life when Jimmy Stewart, playing George Bailey, is at his lowest low? He's standing on a bridge contemplating suicide, and then his guardian angel, Clarence, jumps into the ice-cold water, and George winds up saving Clarence's life instead of ending his own. But then later, while they're warming up, that's when George famously says he wishes he'd never been born. Of course, by the end of the movie, George has changed his mind and everybody's happy. But philosopher David Benatar is made of tougher stuff. He thinks George was right the first time. It really would be better not to have been born. Benatar is the author of Better Never to Have Been, The Harm of Coming into Existence. Steve Paulson wanted to know if he really means it.
David, the dedication of your book almost reads like a Jonathan Swift satire. It says, "To my parents, even though they brought me into existence, and to my brothers, each of whose existence, although a harm to him, is a great benefit to the rest of us." But you're really serious about this idea, aren't you? That we'd be better off if we'd never been born?
Absolutely. I'm completely serious.
Why?
Are there many arguments, I think, for that conclusion? One of them is a more technical kind of argument. It's about an asymmetry between the good things in life and the bad things. I recognize that life contains both in varying proportions for different people, but I think that there's a difference in that the bad things in life are a reason not to bring people into existence, whereas the good things in life are not a reason to bring them into existence. And that's because the absence of good things is only bad if there's somebody who's thereby deprived. So if there's nobody there who's missing out on pleasures, for example, or other good things in life, that's not something that's bad.
And you're saying that, on the other hand, by definition, coming into life is bad because there will be pain? People will suffer pain?
Yes. So the effect of that is that so long as a life will contain some bad in it, there's a net harm to coming into existence. Now, I don't think that that argument by itself shows that it's wrong to have children, for example. I think it does show that it's a harm, but it might be a negligible harm. And that's why we come to my next argument, which is one about the relative balances of good and bad in a life. And there, I think we tend to radically underestimate the amount of bad that there is. And so I point to ample psychological literature which shows that humans have this bias towards optimism, that they tend to underestimate the amount of bad there is in life. And then I go through various theories that say something about what it is for a life to be good. And I show how in all those theories, there's actually much more bad in our lives than we would like to think.
Wait, so you're saying if you were to add up all the bad stuff in our lives and all the good stuff in our lives, the bad column would far outstrip the good column?
Yes.
Okay, you're gonna have to explain this. That's not obvious.
It's not obvious, no. I think what we need to recognize here, though, is there are two different contexts in which you can make this calculation. The one is for somebody who already exists, and the other is for somebody who you're thinking about bringing into existence. Now, if you're speaking about somebody who already exists, that person has an interest in continuing to exist. And so if you're making a judgment about whether their life is worth continuing, you're going to need to have stronger defeater conditions. In other words, there's going to need to be stronger reasons to override the interest in continuing to exist. And that, I think, happens in situations where life has become so unbearable that euthanasia or assisted suicide or something of that kind is something we should think about. But my interest is not in that. It's in situations where we're contemplating bringing somebody into existence. Now, if somebody is not existing yet, and they may never exist, they have no interest in coming into existence. And so we don't need as much to defeat the harms that they will suffer.
This is an argument basically never to have children.
Yes. If you combine these arguments together, it's that we ought never to have children. And I know that's a radical idea, and I know that it violates every biological impulse that people have, but that's exactly why I think we need to step back, because those biological impulses are not necessarily rationally informed. They have deep evolutionary origins. They're certainly pre-rational beings that are not rational, beings that are not even sentient, have those drives in some form or another to reproduce. And I think we need to just step back and say, what's this all about? Is this all appropriate?
Well, okay, well, let's step back then. What makes you say that the bad stuff outweighs the good stuff in our lives?
There are lots of asymmetries between the good things and the bad things. So let me give you a thought experiment. Let's imagine that I could offer you an hour of the most sublime pleasures that you could imagine in exchange for 30 minutes of the most outrageous torture. Is that something that you would accept?
No, I wouldn't. But then that's not my actual life. I mean, I hope I am not in a position where I would ever have to deal with that awful torture.
But what the thought experiment is intended to show is that if you wanted to have pleasures, let's say for an hour, the most sublime pleasures that you can imagine, you wouldn't have those, you wouldn't go for those, you wouldn't voluntarily accept them if it would involve even half an hour, even 5 minutes, I imagine, or 10 minutes of the most excruciating torture. And what that suggests, I think, is that the worst pains are worse than the best pleasures are good.
Okay, I would grant you that. You know, there is another argument that I would guess has deep philosophical roots and as well as religious roots, and that's that part of what life is about, part of what makes it meaningful, is that, yeah, there is suffering, but you got to go through it. And, you know, by dealing with it, but in a profound way, you will find more meaning, and you can often come out the other side of it, and actually life is richer at that point.
Well, again, if that is true, that's true for existing people. So would we go out of our way now to create new people who can now have this suffering so that their lives can have meaning? If they don't exist, they don't need meaning in their lives. And if you take your argument too far, then it might in fact be an argument for inflicting suffering, because you'll say it's something to grapple with, to wrestle with, to give your life meaning. And that again sounds to me like an sort of indecent view.
Okay, I want to come back to this question of whether to have children or not. Obviously, you're saying it's philosophically, it makes more sense not to have children. What about if someone's pregnant? Are you saying the fetus should be aborted?
Well, it depends. So if you combine my view with certain views about fetal moral status, that is to say the moral status of a fetus, then it might imply that you ought to abort at the early stages of gestation. I think at the later stages of gestation, once you've got a sentient fetus, then the fetus has actually already started to exist in the relevant sense. And then abortion may be problematic. But if you're dealing with a pre-sentient fetus and you say, well, look, in the relevant sense, it hasn't begun existing, then this might imply that you ought to abort, that the morally preferable thing would be to abort. But that's a separate view from the antinatalist view. You have to combine antinatalism with some views of fetal moral status in order to generate what I call the pro-death view on abortion. It doesn't follow automatically. It has to be combined.
I take it that you do not have any children yourself.
That's a personal question, and I don't think the strength of my arguments should rest on whether I am a hypocrite or not.
I think that's highly relevant. It sounds like maybe you do have children.
No, I believe these are my own arguments, and I act on them.
Wait, you won't answer the question then?
Well, I don't have children, but I don't think that's whether I have children or not is relevant to the strength of the argument.
Okay. No, I mean that. Thank you. Thank you for answering.
I mean, the reason why I'm resistant to answering it was I think people get distracted by a personal detail that I don't think is relevant.
Okay. Would you describe yourself as, just personally, as more of an optimist or a pessimist?
I don't think one can make those categorical statements, because I think there's some things that we have reason to be optimistic about. I have a reason to be optimistic about my chances of surviving until tomorrow. I do not have good reason to be optimistic about my chances of surviving to live to the age of 120 or 150. So I don't think one can just categorically describe oneself as an optimist or a pessimist. One has to ask, what are you optimistic or pessimistic about? And then ask whether optimism or pessimism in that area is warranted or not.
Okay, let me rephrase the question slightly. Would you describe yourself generally as an upbeat person, as a happy person?
Another one of those personal questions.
That's right. Well, I think that's relevant. Because I'm not sure that you can deal with this at strictly a philosophical level. It seems that we're talking about quality of life, and there's something profoundly subjective about that.
Well, I don't want to get too personal here, but perhaps I should just say that lots of people who know me have difficulty believing that I actually hold these views. But I do hold them.
Okay, I'm going to ask another personal question because I think it is highly relevant here. Do you wish you had not been born? Would you rather not exist?
Yes. I'd rather not have existed. That's different from would I rather be dead?
Right. Do you think about that much?
Yes. I think we all should. Now, some people might say that's crying over spilt milk. But there are prospective benefits to be gained here, because I think if you have a certain sensitivity to the way the world is and to the amount of suffering that there is in the world, not just your own, but other people's, then you might think twice about having children, about participating in a culture that encourages people to have children, that frowns on people who don't. So I think there's something to be gained from thinking about these things.
David Benatar is the author of Better Never to Have Been, The Harm of Coming into Existence. He talked with Steve Paulson.